We are here, and if you're wondering why I don't sound like Emily, that's because I'm not Emily. This is Celi Arias and Jen Liddy coming to you live because we're doing a takeover. And we're doing a takeover because this is Emily Reagan's 200th episode. She came to us and said, what fun thing could I do to celebrate my 200th episode of my podcast? And we decided, what if we do a takeover and we ask you all about your journey and you teach us how in the world you do it? How have you done it? We actually don't understand how you do everything that you do with four kids. We are flabbergasted.
Hey everyone, I'm Emily Reagan, and you've discovered Unicorns Unite. This is a podcast for freelancers, service providers, virtual assistants, and curious listeners who would like to experience the freedom and flexibility of working virtually. We're the magic makers, movers and shakers, and the real people doing the work behind the scenes of online businesses. Welcome to Unicorns Unite. Hey, this episode is sponsored by my very own Digital Marketers Workgroup. Yeah, I can sponsor myself. Get your applications in our exclusive membership that gives you training, support, and the job opportunities you need to build experience and command premium rates as a service provider is opening soon. The end of March, beginning of April, the Digital Marketers Workgroup will open to new members. Now, here's the thing. You need to be solid in your services. You need to have a pricing guide, a website, a portfolio, something that sells your services, and you need to be confident that you could get the client because this is not a course. This is a community. Every month we have advanced trainings. We help each other with feedback, support. We help you with troubleshooting, but we're really there to encourage and refer each other. The link to apply is in the show notes. We only open a few times a year. Right now, the cost is $47 a month, well worth 1 hour of client work a month. You can do this. I'll see you inside.
We made a whole plan for you today, Emily, for you to just sit in the seat, show up. By the way, she has no idea what we're going to ask her. She has no idea what's coming. She has no idea what we're about to do. But we just decided the way to celebrate your 200th episode is for you to show up and actually just have fun and have a good time.
Especially since you are a projector where you don't think to make it about you or talk about yourself and it's less comfortable, but it would be more comfortable if we just asked you questions. And so when Sally and I got together, we were like, how the freak does she do all of this stuff? And where did she start? And like, how, like, we want to know. So we're not just like bullshitting with these questions. We really want to know this stuff. And now you get to turn your brain off probably for the first time all week and just like follow the questions and just like let it flow.
Oh my God, I already want to cry when you said turn your brain off and I'm taking over. I'm like, that's what I've been wanting in my life.
Well, that's like basically, that's so interesting because with the work that you do training the assistants that you train, like they give that gift to their bosses and their people. And that is what you train everybody else to do. And now we're doing it today with you.
Bring it on. I'm so excited.
I'm going to get started. We want to know, like, okay, we know where you are now. We know the work you do. Your audience obviously knows the work you do, but like what came before that? Where did you start and how did you build this freaking business?
Oh my gosh. I was so ignorant. Ignorance is bliss. Like I just didn't know anything. Mm-hmm. I'm always ambitious. I'm always industrious. Like I always put my brain to work. I'm very productive, but I never really cast this vision for myself. I'm just very go with the flow. And I think that stems from being a military child. Like you are not in control. I married a Air Force officer, again, not in control, always moving. So I just kind of gave up. It's not caring and it's not trying, but like casting any kind of vision for myself. So I give you that perspective because I just didn't know what I was doing, like truly and honestly. And if I were going back in time and know the amount of work I had to do, like, I'm not sure I would do it again because I know what it takes, you know?
You mean to build your own business?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I know we can unpack that, but I had my dream job finally, like we moved every 1, 2, 3 years. I was always starting over. It was really hard to build a network from nothing, be the military spouse that everybody can look at your resume and tell you're a military spouse. It's illegal to ask that, but you see Ramstein Air Force Base on there. You see a new job every 18 months, and it's very clear. And I had kind of like a downer moment when we were last stationed in Oklahoma City. And I saw, because I went to college there and I came back and I saw like my doctor friends just like progressing, like buying the house and building the pool. And I'm like, I just keep starting over and I can't ever get anyone to pay me more than $40,000. I've done very well at getting jobs, but it's like piecemeal and putting it together. And I finally got my dream job as a PR director, a communications director at a nonprofit. We had a budget. It was fun having money. We had a very active board and it made my job so fun. And I found out I was pregnant the first full week on the job.
Oh my God. With your first child?
First child. It happened very quick. I'm very lucky. Like I really, again, went into that journey, like not really thinking. I very like make a decision and I go and I'm very lucky that happened. But I like dreaded telling my boss because I knew right then and there everything changed. Like, why am I going to sacrifice for a job that I'm like always leaving? You know, and I've done that before. I get in there. I'm like, I love challenges. I like change the game. I make it better. And then I'm like, bye, everyone. And they forget all about me.
This reminds me of like an Etch-a-Sketch life. Like you build your perfect thing, like you tweak it, boop, 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 boop. And then you have this beautiful, and then you'd like shake it. And you're like, let's start over again.
Or someone else shakes it. Yes, I was trying to put it on the shelf. That was a fun job because I was winning awards. I was getting in the paper. I was getting on radio stations. Like I was on TV shows. Like my job was so fun doing PR for that organization. And we had such a good impact for our city through art programs and events. And that was just really fun. But things changed. We ended up getting orders. And so when my son was about 9 months old, so I was in the job again, 18 months, we had to leave. And I just thought, I cannot do this again. I'm tired. And we were moving to Washington, D.C. I'm like, very Debbie Downer voice, like, you can't learn a new media market in Washington, D.C. as a nobody, right? And so I hung up my hat and decided to be a stay-at-home mom. But like in that process, I had people in Oklahoma City who were noticing me and asking me to do work for them. And so I would just be like, sure. And then charge a really stupid low amount of rate. And then that's how I started my freelance career. And it was just kind of, you know, saying yes to little jobs and having no vision that this was could be a real business, that I was undercharging. I just was happy to make some cash to go get my nails done or get a babysitter. And so that's how it really started.
And use your brain.
Yes. Oh God. Yes. Because when I started staying at home, like every day I would jog at 7 a.m. My kid woke up so early. I'd jog. I'd do my P90X. I was in really good shape. And then I was like, fuck, I'm bored. Do the play dates. You know, I want to talk about things and I can't just go to Target and the grocery store every day. And yeah, so I needed something to challenge my brain.
How long did you do that for?
Ooh, so I left my job in 2010. So I really started freelancing. I say in my bio, like 2009, it probably really started in 2007, writing some press releases, but it was so like tiny, like a tiny work. And I had a reoccurring client and I was figuring things out, but I like severely undercharged. But again, I was happy about it. And so then fast forward, I'm doing all this work. I'm booking out. Everybody wants me. I've never had to market myself. I know I'm skipping a lot.
Yeah.
I make a client $1 million in her membership launch. I stay up so late that night because she was freaking out. She did not have the infrastructure for this memberships that we're joining. I stayed up late. My husband was not there, probably deployed or something, or just mentally not present. And the next morning, she was really mad. I was grouchy with my kids. And I just thought, why am I doing this for somebody else? I have the skills. I'm going to do it for myself. And then like, there's more story to unpack there. And so that's when I started teaching, like forcing myself to go out there and like teach other people.
Sally, do you remember when you and I met, we talked about our own breakthrough moments? Mine was when I was 35 of when I realized I had this secret power because I also had no vision for myself. And what was yours, Sally?
Mine was also when we talked about how we had this moment in our careers around 34, 35, where we had this aha moment, either because of some experience like that, where we went, wait a minute, this is my superpower and I'm either not using it or I'm using it for someone else. And we both have really like specific stories about this moment. And when we were talking about this, we were like, I wonder what Emily's moment was. Like, did you have this moment in your career where you're like, hold on a second, I'm supposed to do this because this is my superpower? Did you ever have that?
I think it was a combination of like things happening in my life all at once, but I fought it for a year. I was like, you need to quit this client, Emily. She's not being very good to you. She doesn't see your worth. And I was building my agency at the time. So I was building these little trainings that would become my course. And I was just kind of putting all the pieces together, but I was also having my fourth kid. Mm-hmm. My husband was really struggling with anxiety and depression. And like, that's
a whole other. How did we go from one baby to four? Wait, can we get a timeline, please? I'm sorry. This gives me like heart palpitations when you go, oh, the first time I was pregnant and then you jump to four. I'm like, wait,
is that how it works?
Yeah, that's what it feels like for sure.
Can we just, what?
Yeah, I like Swiss cheese brain sometimes, like huge gaps. Yeah, first kid, 2009. Second kid, 2011. That was in DC. Like, you know, I had moved. And then I wanted them kind of close together. I also come from four, but I'm also a very non-committal person. I didn't even know if I wanted to get married. I didn't know if I wanted children. I just am like happy in the state I'm in. And then it's like, all right, time to change. And so that's kind of where I am. I think a lot of our military life, we are constantly, and I know my husband and I did this for years, we'll be happy when we're always like looking forward, like we'll PCS in 18 months. And like, you're always just like constantly looking forward and not where you are now. So it's kind of interesting as I reflect now, some of my big life and moments, I just like let myself be until it was like time to transition. But other things we were so far in the future about, right? And then other things we can't even plan. So who cares? So I had Josie, my first daughter, in 2011. There's a gap of kids. There's a couple miscarriages. There's a lot of like, you know, heartache in that. And then my number three, my little rainbow baby, came in 2015. I didn't know if I was done yet. I didn't know. I figured like the hardest was going from one to two. And after that, I was like, easy. And then I found out I was pregnant with kid number four in 2016. And that was a little bit of a, I won't say accident, but I wanted a fourth. And I remember thinking, I don't think my husband can handle it. And God made that decision for me in my favor. And my fourth kid was really instrumental in me. I almost quit my business. I moved to Florida right when I found out literally when we were unpacking and I was sitting in the hotel and I started like adding up dates and I'm like, crap. I was excited. So, and it's not like we weren't not trying. I don't know. Maybe this is TMI, but I do remember thinking maybe I should just pause. I'm having a fourth kid. Something's going on with my husband. Maybe I should just pause. Maybe this isn't my time. And I hadn't started quite the agency in this trajectory yet. But I remember thinking when things kind of were really like hitting the fan with my husband's mental illness, like I better look out for myself. And what can I do to look out for myself? What can I do to prepare myself to not be dependent on the military retirement? Because I thought he was going to be medically boarded and kicked out. And I don't know what that was going to look like because then we've been working so hard to hit 20 years. So that put me in motion to grow the agency. I put my daughter in daycare at one after one. And I was like, I need to get going. And so, yeah, a lot there.
Well, I love that you said, actually, I didn't know if I wanted to get married and I didn't know if I wanted to have kids. I just want to like take a moment to acknowledge that because I feel the same way. And as you guys know me, and I didn't get married until much later. And I feel like as women, we get a lot of shit for either that not being our number one priority or our driver, getting married and having kids. And like, I love that you did get married and you did have kids and you are an amazing mom. And so it's like,
And I love it.
Yeah, because because that's not your driving force doesn't mean you're a bad person or you're going to be bad at it.
Yeah.
That is reassuring to me because it gives me permission that there's like nothing wrong with me just because it hasn't been my number one desire my whole life that I'm going to be a bad mom, you know?
Yep. I think we have these just stages and phases, and I'm always jealous of people who know what they want and have the vision. I'm jealous of people who knew their college major, who knew at 16 they were going to be pharmacists, because I was like, what is wrong with me? I don't have a plan, but it's kind of my style, you know?
Mm. Yeah, when I tell people of my background, they're always like, how old are you? Have you done all that? And it's like, oh, well, because I felt kind of like a loser because I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do my whole life. And so I kept going here and going there.
Shape-shifting.
And over time, that shape-shifting actually helped me become who I am. But at the time, I felt like a total loser. Like I was like, there's something, what's wrong with me? I couldn't pick a major. My major was modern dance because I was like, I know I'm really smart and I know I can do a lot, but I don't know what it is yet. So I'll just do the thing I love.
All three of us are projectors in human design. And I'd be curious how other projectors respond to this, but I almost needed to be in these moments that reflected my particular magic back to me because I could never see it for myself for a million reasons, whether it was family or society or just like whatever I was born with comparisonitis. But when everything got reflected back to me, and I'm a lot like both of you, like I'll be in the moment and I'll kind of go along until I just know it's not right anymore. And then I really hang my hat on my smarts and being able to pivot or whatever it's going to look like. But loser, that has been my word my whole life. Like, why am I such a loser? Why aren't I going to law school? Why aren't I doing like the things that like, there's investment bankers in my friend group. Why aren't I one of them? Like, what's the matter with me? And so that's why this moment of like, what's your secret power or what's your superpower? And like owning it, I think obviously it was there all along, but I don't know that I could see it for myself until I was 35.
I have a story about this, and I think my audience can relate because a lot of us have tried different things. We're like, why did that not work out? And for me, I had this fear that I look like a flake because I've had jobs within, you know, PR, within video, within journalism. Like I've had all these jobs, but it wasn't adding up to like a career or a progression. And I had a boss who was a wonderful man. I love that job. Say, I knew I could get you for cheap. And he meant that in the nicest way that other people would not see the value of my adaptability and my resume and all my experience. They would look and be like, we don't know who she is. She's just going to move. He saw my resume and he's like, damn. And it was a nonprofit. They didn't have a big budget. So, you know, he's like, good. Like I can scoop her up. No one else will see this. And so that shifted a lot for me. And something I do teach, you know, my students is like your comfort with ambiguity, your ability to rise up to challenges and be adaptable is actually your strongest soft skill. And yeah, some people will look at that, especially an older generation will look at that resume and be like, oh my God, you're not loyal. You didn't stay there. I'm like, actually, it shows you that I'm like really fucking good.
A couple of years ago, my stepmother, who is lovely and loves me and thinks I'm really smart, said to me, well, now you're doing this other thing and I'm going to guess you're going to do it for 2 more years and then you'll probably move on to something else. And she's going to turn 79 or 80 this year. And I was just like so hurt by it. But that's like a generational thing. They got a job. They kept that job. They stayed at that job until they got fired or left or what retired or whatever. And I really had to manage my mind around that because it made me feel like a flake. And that's exactly, it was like, oh, actually that's my superpower because I'm very adaptable.
Yeah.
And I can take all of these things, you know, like a snowball that I've gathered up all of these years and apply them to this thing now. And it all comes together.
Well, in this way, okay. So number one, hey guys, if you happen to have these other skills that aren't the typical skills that are lauded and praised, that doesn't mean you don't have skills, right? And number two, Emily, I think this is kind of what you teach people to do, right? Is it seems like you've created this way of taking your own experience of that and fear of looking like a flake and actually using that to empower people to use their skills and create a business. Is that what you would say kind of inspired it? Or how do you think about it?
As I saw my friends, especially when we were living outside Miami in South Florida, it was really hard for us non-Spanish speakers to get jobs. Like military spouses, we were very underemployed there. And I was looking around at my friends. I'm like, these are really smart women. Like I had a couple engineer friends. Like statistically, military spouses are overeducated. Like we are, you know, 50% of us have a elevated degree. It's just hard to find work or people who will, you know, invest in you. And so I was looking around at my friends just thinking, wow, if I just got her up to speed with what's happening online, like we could take her engineer brain. She can be a launch manager, a business manager, and she's good to go because she has a work ethic.
We could take over the world.
Yeah. And so then I was like, well, what do I call this? Like, all of us have something special and unique. Like, we're all special snowflakes. And then that's where the joke, the unicorn, came up. I'm like, well, one of the reasons I've been booked out is I came from the PR world and I had like total confidence in writing. And I built my business based on writing press releases. And my first $300 project was a media kit for a type of client I'd never done one before. And I just realized like I could get them spun up really fast because I had seen some things on the teams I was on where we hired people who couldn't do what they said they could do. And at that time, that was 4 or 5 years ago. So it's like a different landscape now. But the VA world was very, like, very admin-y and not very marketing.
Which is what people want, which is what people really want when they hire a VA.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I positioned my brand too. But I just had this aha. I was like, Laura is really smart. So I got Laura. She's the commander's wife working for me in my agency. I trained her up and then I like released her when I decided I didn't like an agency and she has her own clients. And she was like, I remember going to this like outdoor kind of pool in Miami and we sat under the waterfall one day. She was like crying. She's like, I'm so grateful. Like you gave me this new career because she didn't know how to cross the bridge from stay-at-home mom land and like how do you bring back your engineer degree?
Yeah.
And it helped her just like figure it out. And I had another friend, Crystal, also a military wife, same kind of background, used it to get working again and then went back to engineering. And so it's kind of interesting how it's almost like my program is almost a course that gives people confidence. It's like a launch pad. But you don't know where it's going to take you. And that makes it hard to market. Because I'm like, you might not actually end up a marketing assistant. You might actually do something completely different. So that's where I struggle.
You just said something I feel is very important, which is where you get your confidence from. Because yes, you provide people a community, skills, training, but ultimately that confidence, like you're building it yourself. And just to like step into your program requires a sense of confidence, a sense of like knowing, I want more. I want different. Maybe I don't know what that vision is. And I'm really hoping people are listening to the three of us who have successful businesses and are in very different realms of our business are all said like, I never really had a vision for myself. I was like swimming in the deep end of the pool, but you need to at least have the confidence to like say something has to change and it can't be this for the rest of my life.
I love that. It's so true.
Yeah, you do that for people. So Emily, this big question came up when Sally and I were talking because I have one child who's about to fly the coop, is almost 17, about to be an empty nester. Sally is considering what this might look like for her in the future. And so we're not where you are with like, your kids are little. And I know that I am personally crawling over the finish line most days with just one child who is basically driving himself around town now.
And to be fair, I am too. And I don't have children.
How the freak do you do it?
I look at your stories and I'm like, that actual freak.
We need to know, how are you really doing this? We thought this was important, not just because we're curious and nosy, but really, I would imagine a lot. I mean, you've talked about your clients so far and the type of person you want to work with. Like, these are people who probably have kids. And now you're a single mom with four kids. How has this impacted your business and your journey? And how do you help people in your clientele do this too?
Oh my goodness. I don't know how I did it. It's such a blur. And I know when I first started, I would do my work in the evenings. I remember being pregnant and doing like Pinterest marketing, like in front of the television, like with the computer on my belly. And I would just work in the cracks of mom time. My firstborn was an early riser, but like he would play pretty well in the morning. So I would like squeeze in here and I would squeeze in here. And it's not sustainable, but it got me there and it got me going. And so I want to put it out there. I think moms with little toddlers have it the hardest. And I get so jealous, deeply jealous when people live near family and have help because I don't have that. And I don't have, my parents are very helpful, but they're not the type that are like, oh, you want to go to Jamaica for fun? We'll be there. It's like, oh, you're in the hospital with a hemorrhaging miscarriage. Okay, now we'll help you. So I don't know how I did it. It's a blur, but I definitely wasn't working at that scale when I had little babies. And there are ways, things you can do, swapping and asking help. But this is also why I like marketing, because it's flexible. I did a lot of Pinterest clients when I had the three little toddlers, and that was flexible. Like I could get ahead and it wasn't a burning fire. Like, I would never be a launch manager right now with a baby on my hip. And then, you know, the second you're counting on that nap, that like wonderful, like mystical 3-hour nap, like that you can't count on that. So, yeah. And then eventually I started leaning into paying for childcare. I started getting some help. You know, I remember with my number two, I was like homeschool mom. And I'm like, I can't keep this up. I can't. I do need some breaks. And I started paying for private preschool. I guess that really kind of helped starting freeing up time. And when we got to Miami, it's a blur. I don't even have a really good answer for this, but I did tell you I started putting Winnie, my fourth, in daycare when she was one, which was the earliest I'd ever done with my kids, because I felt a lot of guilt. Like, I felt the guilt because I had a stay-at-home mom and she expected me to do that. And I was really at a tough place when I found out I was pregnant because I love my job. I didn't want to abandon that. And I remember I had this former coworker, love her to death, but she told me, I can never see you as a stay-at-home mom. And I was kind of insulted. But yet, when I had Mitchell, I had a very generous maternity leave. My boss would let me, like, whenever he got his shots, I would take the whole day off and I would work from home, or like I would take him to toddler music class, or I would drive home and nurse him at lunch because I'm insane. And my mother-in-law did help watch Mitchell, and she said, I'll watch him till he turns one. But I'm going to say this, she's never going to listen to this podcast. But I also knew that wasn't the childhood I wanted for him because I saw how they were. Like, I won't go anywhere else, but that was just not what I wanted. And I wanted my kids active. And being a military kid, it's very important that I explore my areas with the kids and we have fun and we go to museums and we go to parks. And I'm like very hands-on. It was very important to me. And I feel like I kind of cracked the code for doing both. And I think that kind of goes with my personality of like non-committal.
like go with the flow.
Yeah, how can I have mutually exclusive things? That's like one of my favorite quotes from Sylvia Plath. Like, I love that. I like resonate with that so much. Like, how can I have my cake and eat it too? Mm. And I didn't have to commit one way or another. Now, do things suffer? Yes. Is my house messy? Yes. Do I cook homemade meals every night? No. Do I forget stuff? Yes. Yesterday was the first soccer practice. Oops. So, you know, you pick and choose your battles, and there's a lot of mom guilt, but I'm okay being the Amazon mom right now. I'm like, oh, you need that for the school auction? I'll send it. Like, yeah, I might not be volunteering, but it is hard. It's really hard to shut my brain off, like, at the end of the day as an entrepreneur. And I think that's the thing people don't really talk about. Is like, and this happened with client work. Like, all these tabs are open in your brain, and I could definitely do better with that. Like, how can I physically, now that I have my own office, physically leave it and come back tomorrow? Like, that's been the hard thing, working in all these different houses and all these different situations. So does that even answer your question? I don't even know.
I still am like, I don't know how you do it.
I think it's really a personal, energetic thing.
I'm trying to take notes here. I'm like, okay, Amazon. Okay. Not home cooked meals. Okay.
I think ultimately what your kids remember is, you know, these moments of time that you spend with them. We're at an age where my kid, like, I actually cook on Sundays for the whole week because nobody is ever home anymore to eat together. And I felt really bad about that. And I was like, what is a solution that works for me and works for them? And I think that's literally the best that you can do. I also had to shut out a lot of these shoulds that come from other moms who are doing it differently, or like what my parents expected me to be like. I remember I only had one child, and I did that on purpose because I always say I could be a good mom to one kid or a drunk mom to more than one child. And so my mother was really disappointed because she had four and that was the way you were supposed to do it. So I think, like, basically your answer is like, I have had to give myself permission to do what freaking works for me. And I think that's the best thing we can do for all of us, especially when it comes to our businesses too.
Well, I mean, there's things that suffer, right? And I'm not at this place where I'm like, oh yeah, I got a nanny and a chef. Like, well, that would be amazing. Do I need a personal assistant? Yes. Do I work out every day? No. Mm-hmm. Do I yell a lot? Yes. Do I get cranky? Yes. Does everyone make it to the orthodontist? Yeah.
Like, eventually.
You know, I'm getting better. And I see this in my own business too, like being organized about things a little bit more systematic. Because I do get frustrated with myself. Like, I will drive to the wrong soccer field. my kids know, like, mom, will you double check that? Because, you know, things will change and I'll miss the email. And, you know, so I'm getting better.
You don't need to spend $2,000 on another course. You don't have $30,000 to spend on a mastermind. So where do you go if you are in the messy middle of owning and running and operating a service-based business? You come to the Digital Marketers Workgroup. This is an exclusive membership that provides the training and the support and the job opportunities to get to the freelancer holy land, where you're working with dreamy clients, commanding premium rates, but you're not sacrificing your schedule and your time. You still have time with your loved ones. The Digital Marketers Workgroup can help you get there, especially if you feel stuck, if you feel like you're jockeying way too many clients and you need help really niching down and positioning yourself as the go-to expert. Get your applications in now for the workgroup because we are opening again at the end of March, beginning of April. When you join now, you'll get access to our brand positioning workshop and the Work With Me page writing workshop, both happening in April. We have amazing guest speakers coming throughout the summer. This is your time to really hone in on your business, prioritize your work instead of always bending over backward for your clients. The link to apply is below. We want your business set up. We want you confident in your client work, able to take on clients. Apply now and we'll be in touch. Back to the show.
Part of me is like, how could you not? Four children is a lot to keep track of. There was this person on a podcast that I heard. She said she was at a dinner party and she challenged the men at the dinner party to like take one thing off of their spouse's plates. And she said, I challenge you, or I encourage you to just take off responding to school emails and school requirements. And none of the partners would, because the mom is the default parent, right? So I don't know. I have one child, and like just keeping track of what needs to happen school-wise, not to mention the soccer and the orthodontist and all of the other things you're going on. So I do hope, like, while you're talking about this, you see how much you have going on and that you're daily like giving yourself some friggin' pats on the back, because what you're doing, not just as a mom, but also as a business owner and helping the people that you help to do this for themselves, like, it is an enormous gift. And I just hope that for your 200th episode, you can see that.
Thank you. Thank you. Because sometimes it feels hard. Like, you know, my mom's sitting right now and she'll be like, are you working again? Are you still working? But you know what? Having fun is important to me. And that's something I'm working on now, is like, how do I give some of me back? I've been able to close one giant tab in my brain, which is really helping. I've started playing volleyball on Sunday nights. And me, like, just being involved in a team sport and being active, like, you know, I have put on weight the last few years because I picked and choose my priorities. And so I'm just kind of getting back to me a little bit. And it helps now that I have a team supporting me in areas. And I have a new team member who's doing phenomenal with the work group. And that's really helping. I think the real answer is it does take a village, mm-hmm. right? Like, it truly does. And even though I haven't lived near family, I've had, you know, some family come in to help, but I've had amazing military spouse friends. Like, I can remember my husband being deployed for a year and not having the ability to go get Easter candy. And my friend Claudia, who was actually one of my students, went and got me Easter candy that night and like helped me. I'm not also not that like helpless mom. I don't do that a lot, but sometimes when you reach out and ask for help, like, women unite and help each other and you just make more friends. And that's what's happening in my life right now. And it's so beautiful because it's really hard mom dating. You know, how do you crack the code? And it's like, you actually need somebody to drive you home from your gum graph. You're desperate. Like, I physically cannot drive and they won't let me Uber. Like, will you drive me home? Like, those moments like bond us and you start getting the support. And I think same thing in our businesses. Like, we need help. Like, we can't do it all.
You got to build your own village. Mm. Yeah.
That's good. So you're helping people build their villages.
Yeah. And I'm trying to help them like fast track it a little bit so they don't spend years doing what I did and undercharging or putting up with crappy clients or just like not seeing their worth. You know, you talk about being a projector and like I could have used that for me. And like even what happened in the Voxer chat yesterday, we're in this Voxer chat, two people chimed in and said, Emily, I could see you on a stage. And I was like, for the rest of the day, I was like, what? Who, me? You know? And like, having somebody to do that really picks you up. At least it does for me. And so I try to do that for others too.
I think this leads us to our last big question, Sally, which was, what is coming for you in 2024 and 2025 that you're either like seeking beyond? We know that the stage is one of them, changing or letting go.
Oh my God. That's a tough one. I'm struggling with this. Ooh. I've been really struggling with this. Like, what do I want? What is aligned for me? What do I need to do? I'm trying to come from a place of abundance and not lack and not being scared, because I am scared about my future. But I keep telling myself, I was walking around with the dog, and sometimes I walk through you at 7 when I'm walking the dog. My new mantra for myself is, I am certain. I'm certain. Like, I know it's going to work out. Like, I feel it in my bones, but like, I have to still like repeat this to myself. I really don't know. I don't know. I'm still figuring that out, if I can be quite honest. Like, whatever I said at the beginning, how I just wait till I'm like pushed to the edge and then I make the jump.
Makes sense.
I'm still living that. I'm trying to pay attention to what lights me up and what excites me and where I want to go. I would love to run an in-person event, but that's also like not my jam. It's not. Like, I'm not good with the little swag, the gifts, the name. Like, I am not a host.
No, me.
I, like, don't wrap your presents. Like, I'm just, it's, like, not me. And so I'm, like, figuring out, like, how could I run an event that feels aligned, that, like, I don't want it to be the Emily show either.
Of course you don't, because you're a projector.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out a way I could launch my program more or change. I've talked to both of you about this. How can I make it, like, accelerated for people? So I'm kind of, like, reworking that. Okay, thank you for letting me verbally process, because I'm going to get eventually. Two things I'm excited about. One of them is the idea of writing a book. And not the kind of book where I want to be Amazon bestseller, but just getting things out of the process. Like, basically my info session, how to become a virtual assistant. Like, I'm thinking about putting that in a book format. Kind of like a book funnel, but like, you know me, I'm very tactical. I would like to have that out there. I feel like, if I can educate people about their options and then they choose marketing, they'll like come to me naturally, right? Such a projector. I'm starting to like bake a little vision of this. And I have author friends and author coaches and book coaches. And I'm like, a year and a half ago, maybe even 6 months ago, I was like, I don't want to write a book. I mean, I don't know if I want to have kids. I don't know if I want to start a podcast. I don't want a podcast. Like, I say shit like that all the time. And then I like eat my words. So I think a book would be fun. And eventually, I think more of a like Laura Belgrade style book would be fun, because I like to be entertaining and funny. Like, I don't want to read dry, boring stuff.
I bet you have stories for days.
Yes. Make stories out of nothing. They're not always articulate, but I can. And the other thing I'm really excited about, and I don't know if I'm like jumping the gun on this, but in my head floating around the last like 7-8 months, I've been thinking about like, how can I be a contributing writer? And I think the journalist in me is like, okay, I'm like checking myself right now. Is this an ego thing? Is this like help the world thing? Like, where is this coming from? Is this actually something you need to take on? Because I will have to let other things go. And I have Business Insider paying me for my first article.
Ooh.
And it's due in about 2 weeks when this podcast airs. And I'm hoping I can pitch them again and just like see where it goes. It just seems like... seems fun to me right now. And I'm trying to just lean into what feels fun.
Yeah. Wow. I love it. I think you're a percolator. You're like a crock pot. It like brews over time.
I make fast decisions. Like, I am a dominant. Like, I know exactly what I need to do. But like for like big picture strategy,
yeah,
I have to watch myself, because I will say yes too soon, too early. And I'm working on boundaries. I have like a boundaries book over here I'm reading somewhere. But I'm like, I'm working on that, because I do need to say no more. Here's the thing. I've been inside so many businesses and work with so many clients who like give me whiplash, like changing their priorities, facing things. And I'm like, I just don't want to do that to myself. I don't have time. I'm like a mom of four. I physically do not have time to go down the wrong roads. And that doesn't mean I'm not afraid to fail. I just really don't want to build something or work on something that doesn't make sense right now.
Yeah.
I am giving myself time, and I don't want to do what everyone else is doing.
My God, Sally, that's your jam too, Sally.
Totally. I mean, I'm like, yeah, my clients give me whiplash because I'm constantly bringing them back. I'm like, come back to the strategy, come back to the strategy, come back to what you said you want.
Yeah. there's so many things. It's easy. Like, look at how like guilty people feel about social media with all the different platforms they can be on. Like, I see that all the time with business owners. I know you do too, Sally, and feeling guilty about all the things they're not doing. And I'm like, eh.
Even people say to me, oh my gosh, you're so funny. Your content's so great. You should be on TikTok. You should be on TikTok. You should be on, you should do YouTube shorts. You should have a YouTube channel. You should have a podcast. I'm like, girl, with what time?
Stop shooting all over me.
Yeah, at a certain point, you got to pick your channels. I mean, as a marketer, I'm curious how you deal with that.
I, truthful moment here, woke up Monday. Like, I'm struggling on Mondays, like lately, transitioning from the weekend.
Yeah.
With all the kids, turning my brain on Mondays, like my brain is slowing up a little bit. And I think I probably need to sleep more, but that's another story. And I don't get up at 5 a.m. Let me just like say that. That's like not me. I'm a sleeper inner. I'm struggling on Mondays, but I have to have more time and space on my calendar to do what I feel creative about and what lights me up. You know what I did on Monday when I should have been working on my presentation? Like 30 TikTok videos. But I was like having fun. I was in my moment. Could it be a distraction? Like, I don't know. Maybe we need to talk about this off camera. But like, it was fun for me. I hit 1,000 on TikTok. It was a mini goal I had. I don't know what I'm doing with it, but I kind of see like snarky content over there and making fun of like what it's like to be working as a service provider. But it was fun and I gave myself permission to do it. And then I tackled the thing I didn't want to like very last minute because that's my MO.
Paint yourself into the corner and then get it done.
Yeah. I'm a deadline girl. I'm a deadline girl.
Do you know what Enneagram you are?
7.
Yeah. I was going to guess that.
That makes sense. Yeah. And a Sagittarius. So I do like to have fun. If it's not fun, I don't want to do it. If social media is boring, I don't want to be on it. And I'm getting a little bored over on Instagram. I've had that conversation. And so I do need variety. I do. And I need to challenge my brain. But like I have other things like cooking right now. But one thing I'm trying to do is just get better at repurposing. And I am now paying my daughter to share my reels over to TikTok. I'm contributing to her IRA.
I was just going to say that's contributing to her IRA. So smart.
Did the math on that. And I'm like, girl, if you did so many a week and I paid you $100 a month, you will have $3 million by the time you're 65. If we keep that up, I was like, will you do it? So we're starting. And so some of that like repurposing, and I mean, I've played with the different AI tools. There's like nothing I love better than like content made for that platform, but there is some flexibility between, you know, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. So I think you just have to pick that one channel and just like make it work and do that, like, you know, B minus effort and be like, it's good enough. Like, what is your priority? Right now, YouTube is not my priority. Is there a tremendous amount of growth potential there? I have been telling my YouTube video editor, I'll give her a fresh video with my brand new camera. Not used it.
Is it still in the box?
Almost a year later. Nice mic. Have not used it. I decided YouTube is like the fourth thing. It's just not getting done. How many cold DMs do I get about how crappy my channel is?
Oh my God, I know, me too.
I'm like, I don't care. We're repurposing. Like my goal over there is just repurpose. It's growing, you know, 40 subscribers a month, like good enough for right now.
You're doing great though. I do YouTube videos straight from my computer. I don't even have a camera.
I know. I mean, it's such a like block. It's so stupid, especially because I've had audio visual production jobs.
Yeah.
Like, no excuse. Okay. So I wanted to have a projector moment because we reflect on each other. What do you two see for me? And I'll get out my notepad. Just kidding.
I think that you are going to simplify and streamline your offering and how you teach what you teach and step yourself more into the spotlight in terms of speaking on stages, teaching, writing, whether it's writing the book or writing content for certain platforms. I think that you've built a solid foundation in terms of your product and it's there. Not that you would run it on automation, but I think that you can simplify the energy that you put into it so that you can be more of the thought leader in this specific space. And that's also going to continue to bring you client rather than being in scarcity of, oh, if I let this go or if I don't have my finger on it, it's not going to do well. And I actually think if you do let it go a little bit, as you build out your voice and your thought leader positioning, it will all work out. That's what I see. Business strategist brain. Mm-hmm.
I was actually going to say the same. There was a really big piece for me about automating some of these things like the book. because I am also very tactical. And, you know, if you spoke your book in just chunks and had it transcribed and then cleaned it up, you love a, you know, two things at once kind of approach. If you, you know, took your dog for a walk in the morning and spoke your book and let it download from you so that it felt joyous and natural, and then transcribed it, there would be so much freedom for you. And like, I have to sit down and write my book and maybe wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. So it just seems like leaning more into the things that you already know about yourself and you clearly elucidated about yourself. And I also love that you own them about yourself. You're not like, I really wish I could wake up at five and wring more out of that. You're like, no, I'm a sleeper inner and I just want more of that. And so, and the other thing that happens is like the older you get, and the older your kids get, the more you're just like letting go of stupid shit that doesn't, that you don't care about anymore, that you don't care if people judge you or whatever. So you're already there. I think that's just like the more Emily-ness is going to come out of that.
Yeah, like aging is kind of fun. Like I just had this conversation with my best friend this morning about some family drama that happened with an aunt and a wedding and a cousin. And I'm not mad I wasn't invited, but I just had this aha with her and I was just boxering her like outside the orthodontist. I was like, you know what? I'm just like done putting effort into certain people. And it feels good. It's not hateful. It's not hateful, but you're right. It's freeing. And I'm like, I didn't realize I had this open tab of like guilt. Like every time I go back to Austin, I should see so-and-so and I should be the middleman and the peacemaker. And I'm like, actually, I'm done playing that role. I literally do not have time for this. And I know this is the secret. I'm reading that stupid book, 10X is easier than 2X.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
I know it. I teach the Pareto principle. And I see that with my clients, doing it for yourself.
I notice with that book that people read it and misunderstand it. I think that book is more about you're so in your zone of genius that that creates a level of capacity. Like what you said, like, I won't be pushed to the next thing until I'm at the edge. And I actually think that's a strategy. And I think that's a good strategy. Whereas what I see is in my clients, they read that book and they're still over here. They're still babies. They're still at like 5-figure or 6-figure businesses. And they're like, I read the book and I need to hire a sales team. I just don't like doing that. And I need to delegate that. I'm like, that's not what the book said.
Forcing it or doing it too soon? What do you mean by that?
It's not about what you don't like, you delegate. It's not about what makes you uncomfortable, what you don't want to see, or what you fear, you delegate. That's not what it's about. It's about you create a path for yourself, and the path ahead of you, the version of you that's going to be 6 figures or 7 figures is a bigger version. But once you've filled those, it's like you are trying to fill those shoes. Once you fill those shoes, what is the 10X version of that? Not, I haven't even filled those shoes.
Yeah. To get there, I see. Yeah.
If you look at the case studies, everybody got to a certain, they filled a certain shoe. They filled the shoe. They did the thing. And then it's like, oh, what's next? It's what we talked about yesterday, Jen. Not working harder here. It's not buckling down and grinding down and working harder and doing more hours. It's what's different? What's next? And it's different for everyone.
Sandy and I talked a lot about what got you here isn't going to get you there, the next place. But you have to become,
you have to get here. You have to fill those shoes. So that's like when you're like, when Emily, you're like, what's next for me? You have already gotten to a very solid place in your business. I think sometimes maybe you don't see it and you don't recognize it because you are juggling so many balls at once. And so we can sometimes not see ourselves and not see what we've accomplished. And I think projectors especially, we don't see ourselves and see what we've accomplished, right? Because we're always just like, okay, because we're so future forward thinking, what's next? What's the next thing I'm doing? But you're actually in that place of, oh, I've done this. I've had really successful launches. I've built a really successful business. I've helped, I don't know how many hundreds of people, right? You are in those shoes. That book is relevant for you, but it's not, what can I delegate? It's, oh, what can I do differently? How can I think?
Sally, you're so good at giving people permission to be in their own strategy, because I think sometimes people don't understand what strategy really is and they think it has to be something more complicated or something that other people are doing. And I think one of your gifts is being able to say, that's actually a strategy. And every time you say that to me, I'm like, oh my God, thank you. I'm not just like wallowing in the deep end of the pool again without a floaty. I actually have a strategy. And when you did that for Emily right now, like you need to get to the edge before you make that, like that's her strategy.
I was so relieved. I was like, wait,
I knew you were.
I've worked with a lot of clients and business owners and they're like, I'm going to be this over here. It's that thin pharmacist and doctor again. And I'm like, oh, like, you're right. You haven't even filled the shoes of like proving the model at like this lowest level. And so interesting.
Yeah. Keep giving people that permission and reflecting their strategy back to them, because so many of us don't know it. As you know, I'm such a content nerd. One of the things I wanted to ask both of you is, Sally, are you talking about like this permission giving and this personalized strategy, and it's not what you think it is, and like your opinion on this book and the people are making as part of your content? And Emily, for an idea of building your own village and what you did in terms of building your own village and what that looks like for you and how your company helps people build their own village and what that looks like for them and all of that permission giving, like that is content. Because before you said it's really hard to market my program, but like actually, ultimately, what you're doing for people is helping them build their own village, even if they don't know all the steps. You're like the cortisone shot to building your own business, so you don't have to keep banging your freaking head against the wall.
I think you gave me another way to talk about it, because you're like, oh, community membership, you know, it's like just like a more... It's an analogy I think we can all relate to.
Totally, totally. So I just wanted to reflect back those two things to each of you.
We're all taking notes during this episode. Who knew? You have three projectors in a room together and you're bound to have some good ideas.
You're to build a course in 5 minutes if you're with some projectors. We'll make a course out of it. All right. Anything else that we didn't think to say that you wanted to just say on the 200th episode of your podcast?
I just want to thank you for coming on here and doing this. And I love having both of you in my boxer pocket, in my coat pocket when I'm walking the dog. But I am really bad. You called me out. I'm really bad at stopping, contemplating, you know, reflecting my own wins. And I knew that. And I said that. I was like, come help me celebrate. I don't know how to celebrate. And I wish I could take you out for margaritas, mojitos, sushi, like something like that would like be my cup of tea right now. And to have that pause in that moment, because it's so funny. I was telling Jen on Voxer, I didn't want a podcast because I didn't want to do what everyone else is doing. And I called my Facebook Live show the anti-podcast because I wanted more of a conversation. Mm. And I was working with a client who was a very good talking head, like building a different type of business based on her strengths, like thinking that's how I had to do it. And I had such like internal, like I'm very much a resistance girl. I'm like, I just need to do things my own way. And so it is funny that I launched this podcast during the pandemic. I think it was July 2021, I don't know, like the years are blurring. I can think of the office I was in, but like, I didn't think I had a voice. I didn't really think I had to say anything that really mattered. I didn't think I could build the audience that some of my clients had done. And I just want to like celebrate with you guys here that I did it. I did do it. I pushed myself. And a lot of it was really, truly the why of my children and wanting a future and wanting to be able to independently take care of them outside of the Air Force. And when you asked me how I did it, it was like that. It was that raw mama bear moment that I am going to figure this out.
And you did.
Yeah. So we're here. Thank you. I really do want that margarita. You.
I know. We'll have to figure out what the next time we're going to all be in the same city.
Let's do it.
Would you do like a sentence about your business and where we can reach out to you? Have like your shirt tail here at the end of the episode. And, you know, Sally, we've had you on the podcast, so I will link to that one in the show notes. We talked with you last summer about mindset. We're going to have you back on in the summer ahead of our launch. You and I already agreed to that, so you're locked and loaded. And then Jen, you are scheduled to come on my podcast soon too. And I'm hoping I can snag you to teach something in the work group in the fall.
Oh yeah, that would be fun.
Needing to ask you for that. Okay, Sally, tell everyone about you.
Well, I feel like Jen did it better. Jen described what I do better than I describe it. I really am a business growth strategist, but I think what's unique to me is that I create custom strategies for each person and each business so that they are
working from a strategy that is relevant to their goals and their life. And I combine business strategy with mindset because I don't think mindset fixes a broken business or a broken system. I don't think it's all mindset, but you do need to, once you have a solid strategy, you have to address how you get in the way of working through your own strategy.
And I have taken your program and I would like you to tell everyone about that too.
Oh, it's called the grown-ass business, baby, because, you know, we get you all grown up. It's a cohort program. I do it 4 times a year. The next time is April 12th. And then June is the next one. I don't remember the date off my top of my head, but that's how we do it. It's really fun. And I can talk to you about how making your program more intense, Emily, because what you don't know is I used to do it in 8 weeks, which is when you did it. I now do it in 4 days.
No, we boxed it about this, how we were both kind of thinking the same thing. And I hadn't really gotten the scoop on how it worked. But I love your program. It made me sit down and look at numbers. We build our own dashboard. It helps us, you know, focus on the daily sales activities and do some of the things we talked about in the podcast today is, you know, reduce what we're working on and like focus on the 10x thing that will move us forward.
Yeah. So that's what we do.
Cool. We'll put links to that for anyone who wants to check it out. And Jen, you too.
I am a brand message and content strategist person. I basically help people know like how to position themselves and talk about themselves. If you're a service provider and a subject matter expert, you do your thing like it's breathing. But when it comes time to say, here's what I do, or here's my thing, or this is some content, you're kind of like, and so I help people just know how to talk about their services and their business with marketing. And here's something I've learned. My people would love to market themselves and not feel like they're in the spotlight. So I've created programming that helps you like talk about yourself, that sounds like you, that feels like you without you feeling like jazz hands or here I am about your business. And marketing gets much easier when you don't feel like you're standing center stage kind of with that spotlight in your face. And interesting that you were both talking about like making things more streamlined for people and doing it faster. I am about to launch this idea that I have of a 30-day sprint rather than people who want to like be on retainer with me. Because I have those clients, they love the retainer and they want me in their back pocket every month. But there are people who are just like, let's just do my messaging. Let's just do my strategy. Let's just get it done. And so I'm building what that might look like. Because there are people out there who just like want to get their messaging and positioning done, but not have it take 3, 5, 6 months. Yeah.
I think Emily and I are, we're wired the same way. I'm like, give it to me straight. Give it to me hard. Let's go.
Give it to me now. Give it to me.
Let's go. Emily and I will be in your program. We're there.
Let you know when it's happening. So that's what I do. You can find me. I have a podcast called Content Creation Made Easy. I'm really not on socials anymore. I kind of broke up with them. So my podcast and then my website is where you can find like programs like the Backstage Brilliance Marketing Toolkit, which is like a downloadable that will give you 21 prompts so you can talk about your stuff without feeling like you're in the spotlight. So jenliddy.com.
I love that you broke up with socials. That's hilarious. Thank you for saying that. I love that.
It was a long, messy breakup. A couple of times it didn't take.
Came crawling back to you. Yeah,
I did the walk of shame a couple times.
Kept seeing it on the apps. Yes. Okay, ladies, thanks for taking the time out today. It's such an honor to have you.
So fun, you girls.
Love you too.
Love Thank you guys you. So much.
Bye, girls.
If you want to start earning income as a digital marketing service provider or digital marketing assistant, you only need your laptop. You can tap into what online business owners really need help with by downloading my top 10 most requested tasks. These are the services I did for years for my clients behind the scenes. You can take this download and apply it to your own business and start by offering these very same services. If you want to niche down in digital marketing, this is your guide. Just use the link in the show notes or go to emilyreaganpr.com/services.
I'm going to get started. So, Sully, Emily.
A haircut I had back in 2007. So I'm like, bringing it back. She's bringing it back.
Ooh. Sorry. I talk in songs.
it was all right there. We just had to kind of like shine the lights on it and get rid of the extra nonsense. And she did this within 45 minutes. She was like ready to go.
Yeah. But it's the gen juice. It's the gen juice, really.
I,
d-